Good morning. It is good to be inside the house of the Lord today. It is nasty outside, but I haven't been rained on since I got in the building. So thank you all for coming. Glad a little rain didn't scare you away. Bible says Jesus gave them some apostles, some prophets, some preachers, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. My job as pastor here at Oasis Church in the city of Citronelle is not to go out and see this city saved. My job as pastor is to equip you so that we can all go out and see the city of Citronelle saved and all the surrounding cities and build up the kingdom of God. Now, to go outside the borders of what we can reach, it takes missionaries, somebody called to do God's work, to give up what they have, all the comforts of home, and go somewhere and reach people that no one else is reaching for the Christ, for the cause of Christ. Like Kel and Danielle do a fantastic job in the Philippines, and I'm glad to have him back. And he does an outstanding job there, and Danielle are doing mighty things for God. And in some ways, we're helping them with support, with prayer, financially, and we get to be a little bit of a part of that. But it takes some people to equip missionaries to go and do what they do. Missionaries need somebody to train them, to give them opportunities, to stand in the gap, and it takes a special calling to do that. And I met a couple people yesterday that do just that. I met Brother Ron yesterday, and it's the first time I'd ever met him. And I'm pretty good about figuring out people, and it didn't take me 5 minutes to figure out that Ron and Sharon's purpose. And we've been talking a lot about purpose. We're made on purpose, for a purpose, on purpose. And it didn't take me 5 minutes to figure out what their purpose on this earth is. And their heart and their soul and their drive is to help missionaries, to equip missionaries, to give them the opportunity to do what they do. In fact, he gives people that aren't called to be missionaries a chance to get into the mission field on just short-term trips and do something outside of our borders to reach people for Christ. And I watched him, and he said, I've been in this for several years. I'm not going to say how many years because I don't want to give away his age. Apparently, he started when he was 2 years old. But he said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I watched as they told stories of the things they're involved in and the work that's happening in mission fields, and they had a glow about them. They were excited. It's like they've only been doing it for 2 weeks, and that did my heart good. And I'm honored to have them here today. Thank y'all so much for coming. I'm honored to have him fill the pulpit this morning, so please give him your undivided attention as he gives to us what the Lord has given to him. Brother Ron.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Well, it's good to be at Oasis, a place of refreshing. Hallelujah. Am I on? Did I turn it on? Okay. Sometimes I never know if I hit the right button or not. Well, it's so good to be back. It's been a little while. Got to meet Pastor Marlin yesterday, and so good to be with you guys, and of course to be here with Kale and the kids. I was in the Philippines in August of last year, and our first time to go, Kale and Danielle receive a lot of their income, their support through International Outreach Ministries, that I am a director of mission support. That's a big title that I just help people. But it was so good to be with them in the Philippines. And I'll be back in April. We're going to the Philippines in April. We are taking a team to do, first we'll be in a city called Iloilo, and we'll be doing a pastor's conference there. I've been doing a number of pastor's conferences in the Philippines for years. And then we'll be flying to Davao and be with Kel and Danielle, and Dwayne Higgison from Grace Temple is taking a team. They've started a... For years, he's been doing self-defense classes. Dwayne is a pastor who teaches Krav Maga, which is a Israeli defense system, and he helps the International Justice Mission, which rescues women and children from human trafficking all over the world. And so last year, a word came to us, actually, while we were in the Philippines. I gave Dwayne a word that to really make the team cohesive. And so they've started Team 144 is the name of the team. And it comes from Psalms 144 that says, Lord, teach our hands to war. And when you are dealing with some of the people and situations, Krav Maga basically teaches self-defense. So Dwayne and the team are going to be working with Danielle primarily and the people at the clinic, the maternity clinic there, and teaching them self-defense because they go into a lot of rough places. And so they're going to be doing that. And I'm going to be watching them because I don't participate. Because even if you're just sometimes there, you could get hurt. And I don't like to get hurt. And so I'll just, me and Kale are going to be sitting over there drinking coffee while Dwayne is teaching their hands to war. But we'll be doing that the last number of years. Last year, I was in Cambodia. I was in India. I was in Guatemala. Since I saw you last, we started a school of training pastors in several different countries. Most of you that's known me know we've had a school in Kenya for years, but now we have a school in Uganda, we have a school in Zambia, Senegal, and Mexico, and last year we started a school of training pastors in Cuba, and I will be leaving for Cuba Wednesday, and I will be teaching pastors Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday in Cuba. Isn't that amazing? That we could go to Cuba now? I mean, if you'd have told me years ago I'd have gone to Cuba, I'd have told you there was no possibility of that. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida. We had a class in high school. I don't think they teach it anymore. They need to. Americanism versus communism. It's just my opinion. Okay. I have to be careful. If somebody wants to know what a socialistic, communistic country looks like, come with me to Cuba. We can barely get enough food to feed people when I take them. Gas is $7 a gallon. The pastors live on $30 a month. It is a very difficult situation. But the Lord has given me a blessing of meeting a great pastor and a whole group of pastors. Pastor Sergio has been the door into that, and he and his family have become like family to me, and so I'll be going down this Wednesday, and then I'll be going. We teach the class four times a year in Cuba. In other places, we do it 2 weeks on and 6 weeks off, but we set up a little bit different methodology in Cuba. But we appreciate you, you that pray for us. Last year, I had quite a year, 2008, 2019. Was quite a year for Ronald Gray. I started the year in February with open heart surgery. I came back actually from Israel and then went to Cuba, came home and tried to pick up a box and couldn't pick up an empty box. That's a bad thing. And so my darling wife, Sharon, who's here, told me I was going to the hospital and that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday I had a heart cath and Thursday I had open heart bypass surgery. And I know a number of you prayed for me, and I appreciate it, and I'm feeling good. I went in, and they told me I was having a heart event. I said, no, this is not an event. When I have an event, I have ice cream and cake. You have misnamed this situation. And so I wound up having the bypass surgery, told me that my heart was good, but I needed to get a little more blood flow to it. And then in June, I had cataract surgery. And so for the first time in 25 years, I'm not wearing glasses. I can see y'all. Good. Some of y'all are prettier than I thought you were. And some of you, well, we won't go there. And then in September, I had hernia surgery. That's for picking up 7 gazillion suitcases in my life. For y'all that don't know me, Pastor Martin was kind. I've been doing this preaching thing now for 45 years, actually 46 years this year. And I've flown 2.5 million air miles. Yeah, some of y'all looking like, God bless his heart. But last year I had my 64-year-old tune-up, okay? And in April I'll be 65, and so I'm good now for the next 20 years. I got everything taken care of, and I'm ready to go. So I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for praying for us and praying with us. And I do feel good. I feel well. I feel strong. I'm going to Cuba next week. I will be going to the Philippines in April. I'm going to India to teach in July. I'm going to Kenya, Africa. I'll be in November. I'll be teaching at two of our schools. We've got a new school in Kenya in a city called Narok among the Maasai people. They've never had a school for pastors ever in history. And they are the warriors of Kenya. And so I'll be teaching the last class and doing the graduation for about 40 pastors that have been going to school for 2 years, and I'll be doing their graduation in November. In October, I'll be going to Cambodia and Indonesia in October. So I covet your prayers. And then Pastor Marlon mentioned something that in June, for a number of years now, most of you, again, y'all that I know that I've taken teams, and some of you felt Kel went on a mission trip with me when he was about 15 years old and went to Costa Rica, and then he went back to Costa Rica, and then he went to Kenya, and then he met Danielle. And the rest is history. 4 kids. And now God has called. Isn't it neat? I could tell you a number of stories, but there's living proof. God has used people that have gone with us on mission trips, and God has continued. Some of them have moved to become missionaries, but some of them just become mission-hearted and continue to go with us on mission trips. But this year, I'm going to do what I haven't done in a few years. June the 4th through the 11th, I am taking a whosoever will team. That is like whosoever will. That's all of you. Could go with me to Guatemala, okay? And we are going to build a little small building, a little house for a lady whose husband, they had a volcanic eruption, and the lava came through an area where a lot of the men were working in the fields, and it wiped out a whole group of men. Fathers, husbands, killed them. And so there's a lady who's a widow who has 3 kids, and she's raising 2 of her sister's kids because they didn't have the ability. So she's got 5 kids, and she's living just in a little tent area. And so we're going to build her a house. And not a big house, just a little small house, but something to be in out of the weather. And we're going to do that June the 4th through the 11th. It's going to fly out of Pensacola. The cost is about $1,300. I'm working, you know, it may be a little less than that, but right around $1,300. And that's all inclusive. That's airfare, food, lodging, transportation, everything you need. The only thing you need is a passport, okay? And they're good for 10 years. And so if you hadn't ever got one, you can get one now. And you can go with me in June, and then you can go with me next year. It's good for 10 years, so you can just keep on going. So if you'd like to go with me, you can call me. I have a website at ronaldgrayministries.org.net.com. I have a Facebook page. I'm on Instagram. So if you look up Ronald Gray Ministries, you can find me. But call me if you need more information. But if you're interested in going with me in June, I'd love to have you. And I need a couple of guys that actually know what you're doing building-wise. I've got 1 or 2, but I need a couple of more. And so if you're a builder and would like to go with me and help me build this house, we'll buy all the materials ahead of time and have everything sitting there so that we can make things happen during that week. And I'm telling you, it'll be a great, great opportunity for you. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of us and share with us on that. So we covet your prayers. It's good to be back here today. It's good to meet Pastor Marlon and his family and just to be able to be shared with you today. And so we're so thankful for that. We came yesterday for the meet and greet for Kel and the family and was so kind to let us stay over in the suite next door. And it's a sweet suite. And they had all kind of little goodies for us. And we were so grateful. And Sharon and I, we rested well. I told this morning, I said it was quiet and dark in there. Those are 2 pluses. And so we rested very well, and we appreciate it so very, very much. Thank you. All right. Well, I want to share the word this morning. And I am going to read a scripture, but I'm going to share a little bit before I read the scripture. Is that okay? So let's just pray first. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Oasis Church, God, and for the long time, Lord, that I've been coming here and sharing with this, Lord, your people. Open up our hearts to receive your word today. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. Help me to speak, Lord, with the authority of your word and with your power and your anointing. God, I thank you, God, for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. I was on a plane, as I am so often, flying from one place to another, and I picked up a magazine. And in the magazine, it began to share about a medical diagnosis that used to be primarily for babies, but has now been transferred that it's not just for babies anymore, it's for a lot of people. And the diagnosis is failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. If you've ever been, if any of you are in the medical field, a nurse, or working in any of that, you've heard that terminology. And again, it used to be primarily for babies, but now they've expanded it. And failure to thrive is a diagnosis given to people who do not grow as expected or function as expected in their physical, emotional, or psychological areas. They have lost their sense of meaning. It's a diagnosis given when basically they can't put their finger on a specific thing or situation that says why they are not able to get well, why they are not able to be whole, why they are not able to do what they need to do. And the moment that I was reading this article about failure to thrive, I realized that there's another area that wasn't listed in the magazine. Because it's not just in physical, emotional, or psychological areas. It's also in spiritual areas. And I believe that there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who are failing to thrive. They are failing to be what God wants them to be. And yet we live in a country that is filled with the Word of God. We've got it in multiple languages and multiple translations and multiple ideas. And we live in places where we heard worship like we heard today and we receive from pastors. And yet there's still people who sit in the church every Sunday and Wednesday and other times, and they are not thriving. They are not growing into their potential. They are not becoming what God intended you to be. How many of you know that you were born for purpose? Okay? And so because of that, I believe that God has given us the ability to thrive. So I looked up the definition of thrive, because that's what I do when I read stuff. I wanted to know what the definition of thrive. The word thrive means to prosper or to be successful. Okay? To grow or develop vigorously. To flourish. I like that word. Everybody just say flourish. It's kind of a flourish. I just like to say it. It means to progress toward or realize a goal despite circumstances. Okay? In other words, we can't play the blame game. So many times today, people in the body of Christ are like, well, it's the pastor, or it's this one, or it's that one, or it's this situation. And we want to, but it's to be able, thriving is going toward the goal that God has given to us despite our circumstances. You know, I love the scripture in Ephesians. It goes down this whole list of things that are problems, and then it says, but God. The reality is God makes all the difference in the world. God takes up all the slack. God allows us to function and become what He wants us to be and do what He wants us to do. I came across a quote by Thoreau, who was a writer. He said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with their songs still in them. You know, I read that and I said, God, if it's within my ability, I will not go to the grave with my song still in me. I'm going to sing my song in the land of the living. I'm going to worship the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I want to do what God has called me to do. I don't want to just wait till I get to heaven. I want to start now. Hallelujah. I want to enjoy the blessings of God and do what God has called me to do. One of the reasons that we fail to thrive is because of another medical term called acedia. It's a Greek word that means weariness of soul and inability to delight in life. Weariness of soul and inability to delight in life. You know, it's amazing again today how many people, I just told you a while ago that you know, I went, 2019 was not my favorite year, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. It didn't cause me to say that I'm going to give up, I'm going to stop doing. All it caused me to do is say, watch this. If you thought the last 45 years were good, watch this. I'm on a roll. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to be weary in soul or have the inability to delight in life. I am thankful for what God has given to me. I am thankful for the blessings of the Lord. When I go to Cuba, when I go to these other places, it makes me glad not just to be an American, but to be a child of the Most High God, to serve Him. I talked about the word flourish. So we talked about thrive. And then I looked up the word, the definition for flourish. It means to grow luxuriously. Isn't that good? To grow luxuriously. To reach a height of development of influence. In other words, to flourish means to reach your full potential. The next line says, the definition is to live within an optimal range of human functioning. One that connotes goodness and growth. So in other words, flourishing is reaching the capacity that God intended us to reach. Flourishing means not living beneath the blessings of God. Flourishing means that we believe that God is who He said He is. Hallelujah. He's God Almighty, and He's able to do above and beyond anything that we ask or think. And so God wants us to flourish. Okay, now for some of y'all that you need a scripture, preachers ought to have a scripture. So I've got a scripture, okay? I didn't want y'all to think I've gone off the deep end here. Okay, so I got a scripture. So let's read Psalms 92 and three verses of scripture, and every verse has the word flourish in it. Psalms 92, verse 12, 13, and 14. Psalms 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous shall flourish. Who's going to flourish? The righteous. Can I just tell you that God still demands righteousness? One of the things that's happened in our day, and there's so many things that go through my heart, I can't go down those roads, but I'm telling you, we live in a day that churches around the globe are embracing things that are not righteous. They are doing things that are not righteous. But I'm going to tell you, it's the righteous who flourish in the house of God. It's the righteous who are able to do what God wants us to do. It is right living. Hallelujah. God still expects right living from us. This is not anybody just did what I felt like. Well, you don't do what you feel like. Your feelings will mess you up. You do what the Word of God tells you to do. You live according to the principles of the Word of God. The Ten Commandments are not suggestions. They are commandments. We are to live righteously according to the Word of God. The righteous shall flourish. Psalms 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm going to tell you, it bothers me today that there's a spirit of divorce in the church. There's a spirit that says that if I don't like the way you look or I don't like the way you talk, and we get ticked off at one another and we get offended at one another and we quit going to church and we quit doing what with other people because we don't like something about them. God help us with all of that. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are the people of God called by His name. And there's something about being planted, Pastor. There's something about knowing who you are, where you are, who you belong to, who's part of your family. I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God. Hallelujah. That was an old, old song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad. I'm glad I know the people that will stand with me and support me. When I I have to be careful. I almost cried. I may still. When I went through my heart issues, when I looked up, there were pastors there from several different states standing at my bedside. And they drove 3 and 4 and 5 hours to be there with me because they love me and they care for me and because I'm planted with them. We know that we care for each other. And I know that if I get stuck over in the Philippines, I know that there's some people that's going to come get me. And I know that there's some people that's going to come get Cal because we're planted together in the house of the Lord. We're able to do what God's called us to do. And this is not a time to be tumbleweeds and flowing along and whatever goes and whatever feels good. Be planted in the house of the Lord. It's being planted that helps you to grow and to produce and be what God wants you to be. Oh, sorry, I felt a little preach there. Verse 14. They shall still bear fruit at old age. Some of y'all ought to shout on that one. I did. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I've had a couple of people that thought that I might be going down the tubes. Old Rod, he's just getting older, you know. Let me tell you something. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. I'm getting a little wiser. Just like I said, I'm not going to be a punching bag for my buddy. I'm going to sit there and drink coffee. There's times to be wise, Pastor, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I believe you still bear fruit in your old age. If the Lord will help me, I'll turn 65 in April, and I'm looking for another 20 years of being about the Father's business, doing what God has called me to do and be what God has called me to be. Plant a few more missionaries, build a few more schools, build a few more churches for the glory of God. Build the kingdom, because I believe that that's what we're all about, to do the work of God. Living a flourishing life is growing spiritually with commitment to God's house and a vital connection to God's people. It is using everything I have to serve in any way possible at all times. I want you to hear that again. A flourishing life is using everything I have to serve in any way possible at every time, at all times. It's about not making excuses and saying, well, you know, I would do that. Listen, you know, I've realized as I'm getting older, sometimes I can't quite go as far. I just got back from Israel. I took 32 people to Israel, and we just got back a week ago. You know, there was a couple of times when the group was going to go walking, and it was a pretty good hike. I said, I'll be on the bus. The bus is going to take me, okay? You know, again, it's okay to pace yourself, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to still do what God has called me to do. So, what are some things that I believe that we need to flourish and thrive in? Well, first of all, I believe we need to flourish in our spirit, man. I believe that our spirit man, we're body, soul, and spirit. And I believe that our spirit person should flourish in the things of God. I don't believe that we need just information. I believe we need impartation. You know, when I was growing up, they used to have a saying that says, some things can't be taught, they have to be caught. Okay? I think there's sometimes that I'm not against information. But what I want to tell you, it's what we desperately need is an encounter with the Almighty God. One of the things that I've been praying for more and more is I don't want to just stand here and preach to you. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to move upon your life and shake you to your core and say, I'm not going to leave here like I came. I've had an encounter with Almighty God, and I'm going to do something with what God has invested in my life. I believe we need to flourish. We need a refreshing in the Spirit of God. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. I don't know what future days may hold, but I'm going to tell you, every moment I have, I want to seek God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with everything that is within me. I want to seek God. I believe, again, we need an encounter. I was thinking about a story when I was young, both physically and preaching-wise. I had an opportunity. I was invited to preach in Winter Garden, Florida, for a professor at Southeastern University, and he was the professor of homiletics. Now, those that know me probably already know this because I've said it sometimes through the years, that, and I hope it doesn't upset anybody, but I didn't go to Bible school. I'm sorry. God said go, and I thought he meant right then, so I quit school and started traveling, okay? And so now I was asked to preach. He was the pastor of homiletics, and I mean the professor of homiletics and a professor of hermeneutics. I didn't know what either one of those were, okay? I mean, basically, homiletics is the study of preaching, and hermeneutics is how to preach. It's part of that whole process of learning the Word of God and helping it develop into messages, okay? And so I was already somewhat intimidated that he was the professor. And so at church that Sunday morning, I walked out the side door and I looked out there, and there's about 30 professors from the Bible college sitting out in the audience. I had a panic attack. I thought, oh my Lord, I'm going to call Peter, Paul. I'm going to mess up. I came back in, closed the door, and the pastor was standing there, and I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, what if I mess up? I said, there are all these professors. I said, they're all so smart, and they know things that I can't do it. And the pastor of the church looked at me and said, well, Brother Ron, he said, I didn't invite you here because of your education. Well, then he hurt my feelings. You know? He said, I invited you here because of the anointing. He said, what I want you to do is lay hands on all the professors. I said, I can do that. Light them up. I might mess up on some of the other stuff, but I got that. I know how to do that. I know how to lay hands on people and pray the prayer of faith and trust God to do what He said He would do. And so I said, I could do that. I preached all week in that church. We had a powerful move of the Spirit of God. I believe that we need to be thriving and flourishing in our spirit. God help us. I don't want to go through the rest of my life just existing in God. I want to flourish in God. Amen? I believe that we flourish in our minds. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe we need a renewed mind to understand the ways of God. The Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways. I believe that the only way to understand that is for our mind to be renewed. Listen, you can't make sense of everything that's going on in the world today. But the good news is I still believe God's in charge. I still believe that the Lord is building His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I still believe that God is calling a people, and He's calling them from the north and the south and the east and the west, and He's bringing about a people for His purpose. I believe we need a renewing of our mind. We need to flourish in our mind. Let me ask you something. What do you read? What do you watch? What do you meditate on? I believe those things are important for us. I believe we need to be careful the things that we put into our mind. I believe we need to set our mind on things above and not on things beneath. We need to look to the hills from which comes our strength. We need to renew the things that God has given to us. And I meet Christians now that say, I don't understand what's going on. Well, you're never going to understand if you look at it through the eyes, your natural eyes. You have to believe that God is working even when we don't see He's working. And so you trust the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And don't lean to your own understanding, okay? But believe that God will direct your path because you trust Him. So we need a refreshing and flourishing in our mind. I believe we need to flourish in the time that we have. You're never too young or too old to flourish. I want to just tell you the things I was just saying about me a while ago. I want to tell you the time is now. Now is the time. If you've been waiting for the right time to do what God's called you to do, I'm here to help you. Now. Let me say it over here. Now. Now is the time. Don't keep putting it off and say tomorrow, next week, next. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Now's the time to do what God has called you to do. I believe we need to flourish in our relationships. Sarcasm and gossip isolates us from each other. I believe the strength of our lives should be our friendships. I believe that forgiveness and mercy should be evident in us. You know, I came across the quote that says, everybody in this world deals with two major things, money and relationships. And one of them will make you rich. And the answer to that is relationships. Money doesn't make you rich. Relationships make you rich. I have some of the greatest friends in all of the world. And I believe that God gives us value in our relationships. You know, let me ask you a question. Do you feel encouraged or depressed after you've been with your friends? Well, maybe I need to ask another question. Do you have any friends? Maybe that's where we need to start at. Maybe, you know. So, do you actually, you know, it's an old saying, but it's a good one, that to have friends, you need to be friendly. And I'm going to just tell you, some folks, not y'all, you know, but people that are listening today, but some people ain't very friendly, okay? And so therefore, they don't build relationships well. They don't build friendships. But I'm going to tell you something. Friendships add value to your life. I believe that it's the friends that make us who we are and what we are and what we do. I believe it's our relationships that bind us and hold us together. I mean, when Jesus was talking about building the church, he's not just talking about building a person. He's talking about building a community. He's talking about we are the church, right? The building's not the church. This is a building. We are the church, right? And so we need to trust God for that. But I believe that we need friends for a lot of reasons. We need friends to give us counsel. We need friends to help us to be what God wants us to be and do what He wants us to do. And I think that when you have friends, it makes all the difference in the world. When the Lord was really putting this message in my heart and I was thinking about friends, I want to tell you a little story. Many years ago, our oldest daughter had given birth to a son, and some of y'all have met him, Braxton. He's, by the way, he's going to be 17 years old next week. And we've had him since he was 3 years old. But when he was born, the father was not involved in his life and wanted my daughter to move with him and his family to Oklahoma City, okay, and take Braxton. And so Angela, our daughter, moved to Oklahoma City. And I didn't really like that, but, you know, she was of age, and so they moved out there. She called me and told me, she said, Daddy, she said, the father of Braxton that she had gone out there with hit her. Well, I didn't like her moving out there, and I wasn't very happy with her, but she's still my daughter, and you don't hit her. And so I was debating how to handle this, okay? And so I was debating about getting in the car and driving out to Oklahoma City. But I happened to be on the phone with a friend of mine, and he said, I got a friend in Oklahoma City. He said, I think he can help us. So he called me, and we talked a little bit. And so here's the story from Angela's perspective. She said, Daddy, she said, it was pretty crazy. She said, I got up that morning, and all of a sudden, three or four black SUVs drove into the yard. It looked like a sting operation. And said, all this group of men came out and said, they walked to the house and said, come with us. Your daddy sent us. Packed her bags, put her in her vehicle, and said, "We're leaving." So she got in the car, and then they looked down at her tires and saw that the steel was coming through the rubber. So they went to a tire store and bought her 4 brand new tires. And then they took her to the youth pastor's house where she spent the night, and then the next day told her she was going to go home to where we lived and gave her $100 to buy gas and food on the way back. And what she didn't know was they followed her for 100 miles to make sure that she actually did what she was supposed to do. And she said, "Daddy, who were those people?" I said, "They were friends of my friend, and they are now my friend." After she got back, I called the man in Oklahoma City and I said, "Thank you for taking care of my daughter." I said, "Thank you for buying the tires." I said, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Oh, you don't owe us anything." I said, "I have to owe you something." I said, "You did all this stuff for my daughter." And he said on the phone, he said, "No." He said, "You're a friend of my friend." He said, "That makes you my friend." You know, I want to tell you something. One of the things that God is wanting us to do today is cultivate relationships. The enemy is trying to divide and conquer. The enemy is trying his best to get us to a point where, again, we allow insignificant things to get a burr under our saddle and make us mad and say, "Well, I'm going to go down the street and I'm going to go to this place." And you think that there's an answer, a better answer, another place, another church, another people. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, the problem is not out there somewhere. The problem is right here. The problem is in me. And what God is wanting to do is He's wanting us to get to a place where we flourish in the relationships that God has given us, that we understand that it's the people of God that He's called us to. It's not about a building. It's not about a situation. It's about one another. And when we, you know, did you know in the New Testament there's more than 30 one another's? Pray for one another. Serve one another. Love one another. I'm going to tell you something profound. You've got to have an another to do a one another. Okay, you got to have an another to do a one another. Okay? You can't fulfill any of those 30 things unless you've got an another to another with. Okay? That's profound, isn't it? You need other people. And the enemy is always trying to separate us. I love the song that we sang this morning about reckless love. He leaves the 99 to come because he realizes if you're out there, that's where you get killed. If you're out there by yourself, that's where you get hurt. If you're out there, that's where the enemy tries to bring destruction to your life. Don't let the enemy separate you from the people that God has connected you to. I believe that God honors our relationships. I believe that we need to flourish in our experiences. I believe that we have a calling in our lives. You know, I believe that every one of us, I've said it for years, just it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or not or whether you're a missionary or not, you still have a calling of God in your life. You are here to do something for the kingdom. Everybody. You're not just here to fill up a spot on a pew on Sunday mornings. You are here to be about the Father's business. Do you enjoy what you do? Do you enjoy the work that God has called you to do? Do you believe the Lord has a purpose for your life? You know, we've lost the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? You know, did any of y'all ever watch Winnie the Pooh as a kid? Y'all remember Eeyore? Okay? Eeyore. I think it's going to rain today. I think we're going to get lost, Pooh. Eeyore was the most negative person. Now, I know this isn't real scriptural, but I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of people in the church that's got the spirit of Eeyore. I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. I got news for you. We've never had enough money. If I waited until I had enough money to do anything, I'd never do anything. I always have faith. I'm always trusting God. You know, I believe that God helps us. Side note, I need to just say this real quick. I didn't say it a while ago, but in India, we're trying to open up another school. I'm looking for 35 people who would give $35 a month for 2 years to sponsor a pastor. And if we do that, we're going to start a school in a whole other city there. I've got 10 already that are committed. I'm looking for 20 more that would, or 25 more that would give us $35 a month for 2 years, and we're going to start a school. Well, I'm telling you something. You know, people say, you can't do that in India. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be whatever God's called you to be. There's no limitations with God. And so we need to be the people who trust the Lord. So don't have a spirit of Eeyore. It's not about having enough money. It's not about having enough time. It's about believing that God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. We are here because the Lord has allowed us to be here in this moment, in this place, in this time to do what He's called us to do. So God wants us to grow. God wants us to thrive. God wants us to flourish. Growth does not happen automatically. Don't you just wish you get saved and like, boom! I'm in big church now. I'm a full-blown, full-grown Christian. Hallelujah. It don't happen that way. It takes time. It doesn't happen quickly. Lord knows it should be a little quicker than 35 years. Some of y'all will think about that for a minute. You know, we can't stay 40-year-old toddlers, okay? We got to grow up sometime. And growth does not happen mysteriously. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're people who read the Word of God. We pray. We seek the Lord with all of our heart. Those things, that's not mysterious. That's a plan that helps us to get to where God wants us to be. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3:18, He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. I like Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Actually, just verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a great verse. God is expecting us to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. I know I may not please everybody else all the time, but my goal is to please Him who has called me to be a soldier. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants us to grow into Him. A word that the Lord gave me is don't love what you are, but love what you can become. Don't be satisfied. You know, some of us have been in church all of our lives. We've served the Lord since we were a child. Thank God. But don't be satisfied with where you are. You know, I've been doing this for 45 years. I constantly read. I am constantly studying. I am constantly praying. Not because I'm a preacher. I am doing that because I want to be... There used to be an army poster that said, be all that you can be. I believe that's really for the kingdom of God. Be all that you can be. Be what God created you to be. Trust in Him. It was amazing when I read this article and I was thinking about all this whole thing about failure to thrive, that we're not reaching our potential. You know, I ask sometimes, how many more sermons do we have to hear? How many more songs do we have to sing? How many more times do we have to gather at the altar till something clicks inside of us and says, I will serve the Lord with all of my heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't have to have a band playing. I don't have to have all the right stuff. All I have to have is the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I serve, whom I live for. But I was thinking about this whole message about thriving, I turned on the message on Sirius Radio one day. And all of a sudden, I heard a song I'd never heard before by the group Casting Crowns. And they sang a song called Thrive. I almost drove off the highway. I said, God, when you want to say something, you say it, don't you? And he was saying something. I don't know if he was saying anything to you, but I will tell you, he was saying something to me. And let me read you the words, because sometimes you can listen to it on the radio and not hear all of them exactly. Here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Into the world, into your word, we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know that we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. And then they have a little bridge that says, joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. We're made to thrive. The Word says it this way. In John 10, verse 10, that we all know, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy life. This is in the Amplified Bible. That you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. It's my opinion. It's a pretty good opinion, just saying. Traveling as I've traveled and preaching in all the churches, I see too many people who have settled for second best, who have settled for second rate, who have settled for just getting by. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life more abundantly, to have it to the fullest till it overflows. You were made to thrive. What the Lord put in my heart today for you is, don't settle for complacency. Don't settle for just saying, God, I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done. Don't do that. Do something different. Do something fresh. Do something new. Receive what God has for you and for your life, and thrive and flourish in the house of God. Would you stand to your feet? Here's what I want to do. I've given you what I feel like the Lord gave me to give to you. Maybe I'm the only one that is burning in. I've told Sharon and I in our devotions and as we pray, I have people occasionally, again, not with bad intentions, you know, they just kind of say to me, you know, Ron, you know, you get a little older, you know, just kind of You don't have to prove anything. I don't feel like I have to prove anything. I just want more of Him. I really do. I started about 8 months ago. I realize that I'm traveling all over the world, and sometimes I'm not at home all the time, of course, by doing that. But I started doing a men's Bible study at my house. I told him, I said, I can't do the second Tuesday of every month because my life don't work like that. But I said, we're going to get together, and I said, we're going to just study the Word. And sometimes we have two or three, and sometimes we have six or eight. And again, the framework is sometimes, Ron, you don't have to do that. It's not that I have to. It's that I want to. I sat with two guys last Tuesday night, and we prayed together. The Spirit of the Lord just filled our hearts. And I said, God, this is what I want. I don't want to preach over the Philippines and miss what God's doing way over yonder in the big city of Daphne. Y'all know I live way over yonder. I want to thrive. I want to flourish in the house of the Lord. So here's what I'm going to ask you. Not going to take a whole long time, and you're going to know the answer to this pretty quick. Are you thriving in your walk with God right now? And if you don't feel like you're doing everything that God wants you to do or be everything that God wants you to be, we're not going to take 44 hours to do this. But if you want a refreshing an encounter with the Holy Spirit this morning, I just want you to step out for just a moment and come and stand here at the front. And I just want to pray for all you that come. And I just want to pray for the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow across you and to help you to thrive and to flourish in the house of God and to be what God's called you to be and do what God has called you to do. Would you come? Anybody that you come if you feel like you want to do that.